Thank you very much for the introduction. I'd first like to thank my co-authors, many of whom are here today, Deborah Bowen, Grant Farmer, Jamie Branco, and John Kane, for all of their work in this project and for their guidance as well. I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. I'd like to firstly just acknowledge Nicholas at the NORIC and Giovanni at the Center for Geographic Analysis for their expert guidance and help in obtaining the necessary training in GIS. We're very interested in the health of public housing residents. As we know some things already about the health outcomes that they may experience, and also we can see that public housing residents are more likely to be in poorer health. This may be due to the neighborhood environments or characteristics in the neighborhood environments in which public housing is located. Some environmental disparities that are racial disparities in access to healthy food as well as physical activity outlets are likely to contribute to the disparities that are observed between public housing neighborhoods and non-public housing neighborhoods. These items are also seen in individual level as individual socioeconomic status, or SES, has been shown to be inversely related to obesity, which is a health outcome that we are very much interested in. These led us to construct our main hypothesis, which is that neighborhoods of public housing developments are poorer and have less access to healthy food options compared with other neighborhoods. As a researcher within the PRC, which is housed within the Boston University School of Public Health, this research is in line with our mission, which is to improve the health of public housing residents by engaging them in community-centered research. So here is a map of Suffolk County, which is the county in which Boston is, and as a member of the panel who is local, I'd like to welcome many of you here to Boston, as this may be your first time here. And this is just to show the census tracts in Suffolk County and to also orient ourselves, because this shape and this map will be present many times in different forms throughout the presentation. So this Suffolk County is a map of many neighborhoods, and as you can see there, we are located at the convention center at that red dot. So Boston is a complex urban neighborhood, and it's a dense urban neighborhood as well. And just as a pastry of a baklava has many layers that are deliberately placed, so also does GIS give us the capability to put many mappable layers of information upon one another for a complex analysis. I'd like to just drive home today and highlight that GIS is a powerful tool for public health researchers. So this table is one in which we have analyzed a number of socioeconomic status indicators for Suffolk County here, and specifically for public housing neighborhoods in the second column compared with non-public housing neighborhoods. So a number of these indicators are related to income, employment, education, poverty level, and income inequality. So you can see in the bolded items on the far right column that almost all of these indicators for socioeconomic status are statistically significant. I will go into more detail. I know there's a lot on this table, but I'll go into detail for a few of these and show you both the statistics as well as the map that corresponds with it. So firstly, I'd like to highlight median household income as one of the socioeconomic status indicators. So as you can see here, that out of the public housing neighborhoods compared to non-public housing neighborhoods, the difference in the median household income is statistically significant. We can also look at it from the point of view of a map and see that it is quite helpful to note the geographic locations of the housing developments, which are outlined in red, and Corresponding also to the median household income are the shading. So lighter shading indicates a lower household income, versus darker shading is the higher, the darker color for higher household income. Now, many of the family public housing developments, you can see that they are outlining a white neighborhood or white colored neighborhood. And so this is actually really helpful for us to visually depict the income status. Next, I'd like to take a quick look at the percent of persons below 100% of the federal poverty level, which is also a statistically significant difference between neighborhoods. And these are census block group neighborhoods. So looking here, we see that this, as in the previous map, that family public housing developments are within the red outlined neighborhoods. And here, the whiter colors are indicating less than 25% of below people in that tract are less than 25% of the federal poverty level. A number of the family housing developments are, however, located in tracts in which they are 50 to 75% of below the federal poverty level, as indicated by the gray color within the red outlines. So to look also, we did look at a composite score, and this is from some of the literature. The reference is on the next slide for the Diaz-Rue method, and she used a factor analysis to come up with six indicators, which are listed here. Which are listed here. Income, housing, rental income, education, and management employment status. And these ones make up the Diaz-Rue composite score, which is one of area-level socioeconomic status measure, which is statistically significant. When we look at it on a map, we can see some pretty interesting things. And if you can just focus for a moment at the center of the map, you'll see some of the red outline public housing developments, which are in the lighter color in the center of the map. And these ones have a low composite score, indicating that they have low socioeconomic status. And if you just keep that in mind, keep your eyes on that middle section, I would like to show you a map of the Gini Index of income inequality. And just, it's a pretty interesting relationship, you see. If you look at the same center of the map, that region that was white, indicating low socioeconomic status, is now black in color here, which indicates the highest level of income inequality. So just to pull that all together, some of these areas where public housing are in, with low socioeconomic status, also have high levels of income inequality. This causes us to think a little bit more. There are probably a number of other things in the built environment that we would like to examine and to further understand this. But what would be very interesting to understand is, why does this matter? Why does being able to see this region of Boston by neighborhood, why is it so important to use a map? Well, we can look at the data from the table and we can see it's statistically significant. And that's very helpful for us. It's something quick, and one of the other presenters mentioned that as well. But looking at this data in a map, for example, using the composite SES measure, along with the Gini Index of income inequality, it allows us to see overlaps in critical information that can help us understand a complex environment. So in summary, we looked at a number of, that we saw that there are clear differences between the neighborhoods of public housing and non-public housing. And we did this by identifying significant area level differences in socioeconomic status, as well as some of the other ones that we specifically looked at on a map. So next, I'd like to switch gears a little bit and look at food access and availability. So So there are, and I'm sure you're familiar with a number of definitions of food deserts. You may have seen them in the newspaper. But I chose to use one that is a readily available tool, and this is a food desert locator available through the USDA's Economic Research Service. We also chose out of this to look at a half a mile distance, as that being one that is primarily walkable for a smaller urban environment. Now, the definition that they use for a food desert is that it is one that is both low income and low access as measured at the half mile. So this map is one in which you see Suffolk County again, and in red, as in the previous maps, are public housing tracts, and in the blue color you see all the food desert tracts based on that definition on the previous slide. Now, if you see the red outlined of blue sections, these are actually food desert tracts which occur in a family housing development tract as well. And if we look at this from a statistical point of view, just for some brief statistics, you can see a distribution between the food deserts which occur in public housing tracts versus food deserts that occur in non-public housing tracts. And the difference is about 10% between the two. The ones that are in public housing is about 37.5% versus 27.2% in non-public housing. And while this difference is not statistically significant, it is still important to note that we see a difference between there are more public housing that are in food deserts versus non-food deserts. So this causes us to draw a conclusion here that we've seen from the talk today that there are significant patterns in socioeconomic status and food deserts in public housing, and these could possibly provide an explanation for the poorer health and obesity outcomes that are in public housing neighborhoods. We've got a number of directions that we would like to go next. And although there are, of course, limitations in the scope of these analyses presented today, there are many directions we'd like to go in next, such as looking at other indicators in the food environment besides that of food deserts. Also incorporating an analysis of transportation to look at access to food resources to residents of public housing. And also, this is actually quite of interest to us, is to look at qualitative studies and to integrate that into our analysis to see what influences food choice, and to also see if there are overlaps between the qualitative data and the GIS analyses with the maps. Thank you very much for your attention and for giving me the opportunity to share this with you. I'd be happy to take any questions, and my email is also up on the screen. I think that is a very important item to look at, as in specifically a number of these housing developments. There have been concerns about safety brought up in different studies. As of now, I think I don't plan to do that right away, but I do acknowledge that's a very important consideration, especially in accessing normal daily activities and going to the grocery store.
So I'm interested in, so you're looking at a lot of risk factors for, I guess, Crohn's disease health outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are organizations like the Boston Public Health Commission that actually track neighborhood level mm-hmm. outcome data for heart disease, stroke, and other chronic diseases. So is that something you're looking toward in the future? Is that something you're interested in?
Yes, looking at chronic disease outcomes is really of interest, especially just considering the obesity or metabolic disease, heart disease rates, and they are actually a part of the Prevention Research Center and work closely with them. Yes?
The first speaker, you just asked her sort of about other layers, you know, related to the, you know, injury or obesity. Mm-hmm. In terms of sharing the GIS
Yes, I believe that it is pretty accessible. The layers are taken from a data set and constructed out of a data set. And for someone who has a reasonable appreciation for GIS, they should be able to use the same ArcMap, 10 or 10.1 or 10.2, and pull that together and come up with a similar result.
Okay, well, that concludes our session for today. Thank you, everybody.